Let us commence our service this afternoon by singing together hymn number 1135. The tune is Calvedon 676. In thy name, O Lord, assembling, we thy people now draw near. Teach us to rejoice with trembling. Speak and let thy servants hear. Hear with meekness. Hear thy word with godly fear. Hymn 1135. Read together from the Holy Word of God in the First Epistle of Peter and chapter 3. The third chapter of the First Epistle of Peter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come. Lord, we are a company of poor sinners. Thou art the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, and that we do desire to bow before thee. Thou art of pure eyes, and we, O Lord, are impure and unrighteous and unclean. We do pray for grace to come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, pleading that precious blood that did for sin atone. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth from all sin. Lord, we pray as we gather around the Word of God, that we may be favoured to feel the sweet power, the heavenly unction of the Spirit applying the precious blood of Jesus into our hearts, into our consciences, cleansing us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Help us, O Lord, continually to trust in Thee and to cast all our care upon Thee. Deliver us from an evil heart of unbelief. Deliver us from the power and the dominion of sin. Deliver us from the temptations of Satan, whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour. We need that grace given unto us to wrestle with Thee, dear Lord, at the throne of grace. For the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. The violent take it by force. And we do pray for that spiritual energy and power to wrestle with Thee and to lay hold of Thee and to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and to draw from that sacred fullness that there is in Him. We do thank Thee that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We do thank Thee that He is full of grace and truth. We do thank Thee that it is an inexhaustible supply of grace that comes through Jesus, the Son of God. We do thank Thee for those blessed words of grace. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We do thank Thee that that dear Saviour that condescended to come to this sinful world to be made of a woman and made under the law. We bless Thee for that glorious and precious doctrine of truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. O most gracious Lord, lead us by Thy Spirit into these wonderful foundation truths of our most holy faith. Breathe Thy Word into our hearts. Grant that we may lay hold of the living Word, even of Christ, and that we may have a little sight of Calvary. We thank Thee for that holy life that Jesus lived as a man here upon earth, fulfilling the holy, righteous law of God and bringing in everlasting righteousness for His people. We do thank Thee for the holy and precious sacrifice of the cross of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied, where God and sinners are reconciled, where peace is made betwixt God and man. We do thank Thee, most gracious Lord, that He rose from the dead, died for our sins, but rose from the dead, having put away sin. Oh, most gracious Lord, may we lay hold of the wonderful glories of our risen Saviour, the empty tomb, the resurrection of life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we do bless Thee for a Saviour who is a living Saviour, who has the power of an endless life. We do thank Thee that He has ascended on high, that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, most gracious Lord, and He's coming again. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And we pray that we may be found looking for those heavenly mansions of eternal glory, what the Lord has gone to prepare for us, and that we may be looking and hasting unto that great day when this world shall pass away, when King Jesus shall appear, when He shall come a second time without sin unto salvation. And as we are exhorted in Thy Word to be looking and hasting unto that great day, the restitution of all things. Oh, most gracious Lord, give us eyes to see it, hearts to receive it, ears to hear it. We do humbly beseech thee. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst fill our hearts with gratitude. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Our needs are supplied day by day. And we have a roof over our head, a well-spread table. And we do desire, O Lord, a heart of gratitude, of thanksgiving, that it is so. We do pray that thou wouldst be with us here this afternoon. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. And come and open our ears and our eyes and our hearts, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that thy name may be honoured and glorified, that some poor sinner, whether young or old, may receive the word of the Lord into their heart this afternoon, that it may be a living word with that living power that thou alone canst give. Oh, we think, O Lord, of the word of God, for our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. May it be so, Lord, with each one in this sanctuary. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May we cleave to thy promise. I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, and they shall come from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. Great God, they shall be as trees of thy right hand planted, the cedar tree, the pine tree, the box tree. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and water this garden here this afternoon. Pour forth thy blessed Spirit. And oh, thou Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in thy wings, we do humbly beseech thee. And show us thy ways, O Lord, and teach us thy paths. We pray for all in any trouble or trial or perplexity or sorrow or sadness or bereavement or losses or crosses and the temptations of the wicked one, the awful power of sin within. Lord, any that are troubled and tried in whichever way it may be, and all those in affliction. Remember my dear wife at home. Oh, do continue to put forth thy healing hand and thy restoring mercy. We do humbly beseech of thee for thy great name's sake. Remember the prodigals that have wandered from the sanctuary. Stretch out thy almighty arm. Cause them to be in want. Cause them to return. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. None are beyond thy gracious hand. Lord, we do seek thy rich blessing upon those in old age and weakness and infirmity. And we pray that as the outward man perisheth, that the inward man may be renewed day by day. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon the little ones, the children as they come into the sanctuary, that they may be richly blessed of thee. And even as thou hast said in thy word, and we looked at on the past day, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we pray that these little ones may be gathered unto thee. We pray thy blessing upon the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Oh, that thou wouldst go before them, that thou wouldst bless them, that thou wouldst teach them thy ways, that thou wouldst bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ, that thou wouldst go before them in every untrodden step, that thou wouldst preserve them from all evil, from all unrighteousness. Oh, do hear us in heaven, thy holy and thy blessed dwelling place. Hear us on their behalf. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray for each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, and the various battles and troubles and trials that come in life's journey. We pray for grace to walk the way that thou hast ordained for each one of us, grace to cast our burden upon the Lord and to feel and know thy sustaining mercy, grace to commit our way unto the Lord, to trust also in him, and grace to rest in his love, the everlasting love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that unchanging love. Oh, most gracious Lord, give us that grace to trust and to look and to watch and to wait and to hold fast. We do humbly beseech of thee. We do pray, most gracious God, thy richest blessing upon this village and upon the surrounding villages and hamlets. Oh, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let the light and the truth and the power of the gospel shine forth into this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets. Graciously stretch out thy almighty arm. Thou hast promised, O Lord, that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. Lord, let thy word have free course. Let thy name be honoured and glorified. We do humbly beseech of thee. Remember each one of thy labouring servants in the front line of the battle. Help them, O Lord, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, and to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, hear us, we do beseech thee, for thy great name's sake. And graciously grant that thou wouldst yet send forth true labourers to labour upon the walls of Zion. We pray for thy servants in affliction. We think of thy dear servant at Earthlingborough, and we pray that thou wouldst support and sustain and help him, and help him to cast all his care upon thee, and strengthen him in the spirit of the inner man. O Lord, we do beseech thee, and if it is thy heavenly mind, do grant good success unto the treatment that he is given. Grant thy blessing upon thy servant at Brighton, and also thy servant at Eastbourne. Oh, that thou wouldst be with them as they pass through this vale of affliction. Help them to look to thee. Help them to cleave to thee. Help them to cast all their cares upon thee. No doubt, Lord, subject to many temptations and many fears, we pray that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround and support and sustain them. Lord, be with us now as we turn to thy holy word. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding, for without thee we can do nothing. Without thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford, no drops of heavenly love will fall. Oh, to feel the sweet power, the divine unction of the Holy Ghost, we ask all with the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 861. The tune is Solomon, 930. Poor sinner, come, cast off thy fear, and raise thy drooping head. Come sing with all poor sinners here, Jesus, who once was dead. Hymn 861. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, direct your attention to the chapter that we read, and we will read for our text verses 18 through to the end of the chapter, the third chapter of the first epistle of Peter. First epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18 to the end of the chapter. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Within the scope of this text that we have before us, we have all the cardinal doctrines of our most holy faith. We have a suffering Saviour, who is Jesus, the Son of God, that was manifest in the flesh, and how that he suffered and bled and died for the sins of his people. But we also have a risen Saviour, who has swallowed up death in victory, and is now at the right hand of God. He has authority over all things. As he himself said, just as he was about to ascend into glory, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, the Lord Jesus, he has all power. Do you believe it? Do you believe he has all power? Do you believe he has power to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him? Do you believe that the powers that be are ordained of God? He has all power. And he said it himself, all power is given unto me. For it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This glorious, this almighty, this great Redeemer, we often point out to you, my beloved friends, and we believe it is a fundamental doctrine of our most holy faith, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he suffered and bled and died, in that holy sacred sacrifice, in that suffering Saviour, all the dignity and all the worth of that sacrifice is in this. He is the pure, the holy, the righteous, the perfect Son of God. And it makes it of eternal worth, that holy sacrifice. For by one offering he hath perfected forever all them that are sanctified. What does the apostle mean? Perfected forever all them that are sanctified. All those that are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Well, of course, there's a double. It's like often in the Word of God, it's like a two-edged sword. All them that are sanctified, that is by God the Father, by divine election, chosen unto life and immortality in Christ before the foundation of the world. And in that sense, they are sanctified, separated. But then there is the literal sanctification of the child of God, because sanctification means separation. It means to separate from this world. It means to be able to live unto God and to cast all our cares upon Him. Just as the apostle here, he gives us some sacred precepts to the church of God, to those that have found like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. This is a divine precept that is given unto the church of God. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We should bless. As we read in the Epistle of James, the Holy Spirit is left on record there. Bless and curse not. The Christian believer should never be cursing people, nor cursing about people. That they should be blessing and seeking their eternal welfare. And if it's possible, seeking their temporal welfare. We should never be cursing. The Lord Jesus, he didn't curse, did he? He came to bless. He came to bless. May we have that same spirit. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. What is guile? When it says, speak no guile, that is speaking with a double tongue. It's speaking in a way to deceive. Not perhaps telling an outright lie, but just twisting the way that you say something so it makes it mean something different. It covers something up. It's with guile. And that is what is in our heart by nature. We have deceptive hearts, unclean hearts, unrighteous hearts. But the apostle here, or the Holy Spirit here, he says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That is the living child of God. For the eyes of the Lord are upon us. Over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's against them that do evil. And you know, friends, if the living child of God walks in this way and falls in this way so that they do evil and they speak with guile you know, friends, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit that dwells in your heart, you'll grieve him. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, I think Bunyan, in his Holy War, he puts it so beautifully. He says he goes into the inner keep of the castle. He likens man's soul to a castle. And he says when the Holy Spirit is grieved, he goes into the inner keep. You don't hear him, you don't see him. He withdraws. He never leaves the child of God, but he withholds. He withholds the sweet graces of the Spirit so that we no longer love as we used to love. We're not as kind as we used to be. We have a hard, sinful nature. It's only when the Spirit of God softens our heart. But when we grieve him, he withdraws. And then we fall into all manner of unrighteousness that is within us by nature. It's only that subduing power and grace of the Holy Ghost that subdues our wicked heart and our wicked inclinations. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Oh, that the Lord would give us a tender conscience, so that we might walk in godly fear. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are two fears that are spoken of in Holy Scripture. There's what is called a slavish fear, which is under the law, and that is a terror of the Lord's solemn judgments. Or there is a filial fear. You know, some of the Lord's people over the years, I've met many of them, and that sometimes they become so slavish in the way that they talk, their fear for the Lord's judgment, fearful he's going to do this to them, that to them, something else to them. That's a slavish fear. That's not that godly fear. The godly fear of the Lord, it's through faith that worketh by love. And because we love the Lord, because our affections are set upon the Lord, then we desire to please him. We desire to honour him. And there are things that you won't do because you know it is dishonouring to the Lord. There's ways you won't go because you know it's dishonouring to the Lord. There's things that you won't say because you know it's dishonouring to the Lord. What a difference there is between a slavish fear and a godly filial fear of the Lord. You see, and he says here, verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And here's a sacred precept. And be ready always. How we need to take heed to this, my beloved friends. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer when someone asks why it is you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, why it is that you truly fear the Lord, and why it is that you love him. We should always be ready to give an answer. You know, how ashamed we are at times, and we should hang our heads in shame when we hide our light under a bushel, when we're not always ready to give an answer, when we turn away from such a thing. We should always be ready. Not just sometimes, but always be ready to give an answer. Oh, that the Lord may lay this precept in our hearts. And you don't know that as you give an answer to someone, maybe an ungodly person, as to the reason of the hope that is within you, that the Lord will use that. Use it to quicken their souls. Use it to bring them to a seeking after the Lord. Who know it? Who know it? You see, and having a good conscience. What a precious thing it is when we have a good conscience. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, and when we're tender in our conscience. And we do not want to offend the Lord, nor do we want to offend our brethren. Having a good conscience. That whereas they, that is the world, speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. In the second chapter, the latter part of it, the apostle speaks of this, of suffering for Christ's sake, and he says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffer him wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. And then he gives us the wonderful example. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. It is through much tribulation. Your Lord, your Master, your Saviour, he passed through much tribulation. So must we in following him, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. You know, how soon, when we suffer, perhaps at the hands of another, and we threaten them, how quickly does our old flesh rise up and we threaten them? He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self, that glorious person of the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. It makes me think of that very precious word. I often draw your attention to it in the second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 5, where the apostle, he speaks so beautifully of our Lord Jesus Christ in the last verse of chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He was pure. He was holy. He was righteous altogether. He hath made him to be him that was pure and knew no sin. He hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The Lord Jesus is called the just one. We sing that precious hymn, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rhyme. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown. You see, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. You know, the Apostle Paul in the Hebrews, he lays this great emphasis, once suffered. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the offering of himself. That one sacrifice was all that was ever needed. It was the pure, the holy, the sacrifice of the sacred human nature of the Son of God upon the altar of his divinity. One perfect sacrifice. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Those sins were laid upon him. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And that is why he suffered and bled and died, for the sins of his people. He did no sin. Death had no claim on him. The curse had no claim on him. He was pure. He was holy. He was righteous altogether. But he was made sin for us. Our sins were laid on him. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is how he has brought us to God. That is how he has reconciled us unto God, that he might bring us to God. That is how you were brought to God, sinner. It's in and through the precious sacred, suffering Saviour, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Notice this emphasis. Being put to death in the flesh. We must look at this word very closely, because remember that Jesus is the Son of God manifest in the flesh. That sacred, holy human nature that he assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, the Son of God in his divine nature, he could not suffer and he could not die. It's impossible that God could die. It's also impossible that God could suffer. He is a pure, holy spirit. He cannot suffer. But as the word of God clearly says here, being put to death in the flesh. When the Son of God prayed unto his holy Father, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he was commending his holy human soul into the hands of his eternal Father. And when his soul separated from his body, the body died, being put to death in the flesh. He was put to death for the sins of his people. He suffered for the sins of his people. He died. He died for our sins. He paid the ultimate and the absolute price for the sins of his people. Just as the holy law of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. And he was made sin for us. Therefore, he entered into death itself. Death had no claim upon that holy person of Jesus Christ. But when he was made the substitute for our sins, when our gracious eternal Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all, then he suffered, then he bled, and then he died to redeem his people from their sins. But quickened by the Spirit. In other words, raised from the dead. He rose from the dead. Death had no claim on him. He was pure, he was holy. And in that holy sacrifice, he redeemed his people. And when he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead so that all his people will rise from the dead. As he himself said, because I live, ye shall live also. Ye shall live also. Because I have swallowed up death in victory. O death, you see, O grave, I will be thy victory. O death, you see, he's taken the sting out of death. And now his people, they will ascend into glory. When they die, they go to eternal glory. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And he will come again and receive you unto himself. Put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, notice the connection here, but quickened by the Spirit, by which, that is, of course, by the Holy Ghost. That's the connection. The last clause of verse 18. It's the divine, blessed person of the Holy Ghost. By which, that is, by the Spirit of God. We read in Holy Scripture, my spirit will not always strive with man. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And then he tells us what he means. Which sometime being disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You see, the preaching of the gospel by Noah, by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost. What do we find that largely, we of course do not know how many souls it says here while the ark was a preparing. We have an intimation in the book of Genesis that the ark was preparing for 120 years. And during that 120 years, Noah preached unto the sinful men and women on this earth. And we read that the earth was full of violence before the flood came on the earth, And the Lord, he said, I will not always strive with man. But he's saying here, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And here in the Epistle of Peter, that we read that the Lord is waiting now. It's only the long suffering of God that Jesus has not returned to this earth. Because his church, his people, have not all been gathered in. There are yet precious souls to be born into this world who are yet to be gathered unto Christ. As we read in the third chapter of the second epistle of Peter. And he says about the flood in the days of Noah. For this they willingly are ignorant of, verse 5 of chapter 3, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You see, in the days of Noah, the Lord waited. It was the long suffering of God. He sent his servant Noah to preach the gospel unto poor, dying, lost sinners. What did they do? They laughed at him. What do men do today, the generality of mankind, if you warn them of the wrath which is to come? If you speak of the only Saviour of sinners, they laugh at you, they scorn you, they mock you. They set you at naught, just as it was with Noah. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Again, that same word that we have in our text, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. You see, how were they saved? In the ark that Noah built. And Noah warned men and women as he was building that ark that the Lord was going to visit this world with terrible judgment, and the flood would overflow the whole of the earth. And they laughed him to scorn. And he and his sons and their wives and his wife, 8 souls entered into the ark. And they're the only ones that were preserved from the old world. And the Lord preserved them in the ark. The ark is Christ. That's what it speaks of. That's the only place of refuge in the ark, which is Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Sinner, the day of judgment is coming. The day of your death is coming. And after the day of your death, there is the judgment day. You must stand before the God of all the earth. Are you ready? Are you being made ready? Has your soul been quickened into life? Have you been brought to pray unto the Lord? Have you been brought to seek unto the Lord? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does he mean? He means that any of those that were chosen by the Father, he's not willing that any of them should perish, but that all of them should come to repentance. And until they have been brought to repentance, this world will remain. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Which sometime were disobedient. How many here are disobedient? Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. They were delivered in that ark. It was a place of refuge, a place of safety, just as our Lord Jesus Christ is the place of refuge, of safety, a refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. And then speaking here of water, in verse 21, he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And then he clarifies the point that he's making, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That is done alone by the blood of Christ, the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. He is our life. Your life is hid in Christ, in God. It's hid there. It's hidden in Christ. It's all in Christ. You know, often we look within ourselves. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit gives those inward evidences and that inward experience of his work in the heart. But, you know, we must look to Jesus for life, for light, for liberty. It's found in Jesus alone. Just as the apostle says to the Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That's where life is. That's where salvation is. It's not in ourselves. When we look within ourselves, I remember years and years ago, a minister getting up to preach, and he said, now I'm going to get down into your hearts and we'll find some good thing there in your hearts. Friends, my experience has been there's nothing good in my heart. It's a sink of sin and iniquity and unrighteousness. And when the man said it, I thought, man, what are you talking about? You never find any good thing in your heart. Well, what did the Lord say about the heart of man? For I know that the imagination of the heart of man is evil continually. You'll never find any good there. But you will in Christ. But you will in Christ. There's salvation in Christ. And the apostle speaks of that and he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Do you have an answer of a good conscience toward God? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, that dear Saviour, who rose from the dead, who appeared unto 500 brethren at once, and they saw and they were living witnesses to that Saviour, that Jesus who had risen from the dead, but now we see who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him who is gone into heaven. My mind, it just goes to the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and there we find in that first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles the record given to us by Luke. He wrote the Acts of the Apostles, Luke the physician, and we see there in that first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And they were, as it says in the next verse, they were at the Mount of Olivet, and it's a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. And we read in the prophecy of Zechariah that he will come and the Mount of Olives will cleave in the midst when Christ comes a second time without sin unto salvation. This same Jesus, which ye see taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will come and he will gather his children unto himself. The very first act of that coming Saviour, he will send his angels to the four corners of the earth and he will gather his elect unto himself. That's the very first thing that Christ will do when he comes a second time without sin unto salvation. My mind, it just goes to that lovely portion that we have in the Acts of the in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and the apostle, he comforts them concerning believers. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. There's another trump of God that we spoke of this morning, the trumpets of God. He will descend with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That wonderful hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is gone into heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto heaven itself, into glory, unto myself. That's where Christ is. And that's where his people will be. Father, I will that they which thou hast given me may be with me. May be with me. That's the divine will of our triune Jehovah, that every living child of God will go to eternal glory, to be with Christ, which is far better, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks that we have made. Let us now sing together hymn number 173. To the tune Osset 386. Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all. For I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. Hymn 173. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.